Well, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Friday, April the 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's dive straight in. Jesus is here. You know, he's not near, he's here. He is right where you are. He's right where I am. And he brings us together into this meeting where we're going to open up God's word. He's going to teach us. So let's enter in by the door of consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Are You Filled with the Fullness of God? And our text is, we're up to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus now and throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. I can't believe I left it out. Somehow I managed to write a devotional comment on Ephesians 3, verse 19, and failed to mention the most earth-shattering part of the verse. Here it is again. It's verse 19b. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Okay, let's just, you remember the basic verse, I'll rehearse it. Pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in our inner being. It's the point of the whole prayer of being strengthened with power through his spirit in our inner being so Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. That was so we could be rooted and established in love, so that we could grasp together with God's people how high, deep, long, and wide is the love of Christ. And all of that so we could know this love that surpasses knowledge. And all of that to this glorious end, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's either not true or we aren't getting it. Either Jesus got it wrong or we missed a point. And we know Jesus got it right. So where does that leave us? Today's text draws out a very critical distinction. We see it between the first and second parts of verse 20. See if you can spot it. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to his power that is at work within us. you know, we don't struggle so much with the first part of verse 20. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we can ask or even imagine. I like that version. We don't struggle so much with that. We know God can do it. God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. Further, Paul notes, when it comes to God's ability, our asking and thinking is way too small. Note the three words Paul strings together to make the point: far more abundantly. Above and beyond, another translation has it. There is no limit to God's ability. The problem comes in the second part of verse 20. Here it is. According to his power that is at work within us. Here's where we miss the point. If you were to listen to most of my prayers over the years, you might come to the conclusion that I believe God mostly works outside of, around, and even in spite of people. I pray for God to give us a great awakening. I ask God to help people in need, to heal the sick, to feed the hungry, to deliver the oppressed, and so on. For all practical purposes, I'm asking God to work beyond or above or outside of human agency. People like you and me. Today's text challenges not only this way of praying, but this overall way of understanding the relationship between God and people. God can do it all right, but he chooses to do his work according to his power that is at work within us. We pray so often for God to show up in our gatherings and in the midst of our impossible situations, with little regard for the fact that God's primary and preferred way of doing far more above and beyond all that we can ask or even imagine is according to his power that is at work within us. The more prepositions, the power of the preposition. When God comes to save the world, he comes as a person in Jesus of Nazareth. When God sends the Holy Spirit, the Spirit visibly anoints, fills, marks, and seals 12 people. The Spirit is not working in some kind of spiritually at-large dimension in the air. The Spirit works directly and humanly, yet supernaturally through men and women. I feel myself getting charged here. Sorry if I'm yelling. This text and so much of the rest of the New Testament has me asking a lot of questions about how we speak and sing of God's presence, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We sing of God filling places, spaces, and rooms, even atmospheres. Certainly, we have biblical precedent for this in the Old Testament tabernacle and temple. But people of God, where is the temple now? In the building? No. Two words from the text: within us. That's within you and within me and within us together. Not in the room, not in the atmosphere, not in the ether. Where is Jesus now? Two words: within us. Where's the Holy Spirit now? Two words: within us. So why are we missing this? Is it that we're afraid of it somehow becoming about us and not about God? We are so prone to this either-or way of thinking. It is either God or us, as though there are only so much to go around and we could somehow rob God of his glory. Come on. We're going to rob God. No, you may think you did, but you didn't. Either God gets the glory or we do, right? What if this entire way of thinking is wrong? What if, in fact, all glory is God's glory? And what if there is no limit to God's glory? And what if it is within God's divine prerogative to share his glory with people? What if that is the whole point of the church? To be a community of human beings who together carry, embody, demonstrate, and exude the glorious presence of God in the world. And isn't that exactly the point of verse 21? To him be the glory. To him be the glory, it says, in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It doesn't say in the church or in Christ Jesus. No, that's not what it says. Yeah, this is the thinker today, guys. Thanks for thinking with me. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. I think about John 17 and Jesus' prayer there, though, what they call the high priestly prayer, where he says, the glory you have given me, I have given them. We're not stealing. It's funny to me. It's funny to me how we want to talk about God as somehow being outside of us, when the whole point of Jesus, the whole point of the New Testament, is about bringing God inside of us. We still are struggling with that. I mean, it's a struggle. It's a big, 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 big idea. Maybe we should just pray. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who builds his church, filling us with glory through your indwelling Spirit. Would you correct our thinking and praying and living to grasp that you want to work within and through people rather than through some nebulous at large sense of your presence? Wake us up in a new way to this ever-present possibility that would be our reality. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A few journal prompts today. Do you believe it is possible for you to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God? And do you believe it's possible? And is this your experience? I mean, I know a lot of us would be reticent to claim that it is, but what if that's what's holding us back? I mean, that's a picture of glory. That's what he's praying for, filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's not hyperbole. Do you want that? I want that. I want to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You know what that's a picture of? A burning bush. The bush was on fire. It did not burn up because it was on fire with a fire that's beyond fire, that's outside of fire, that's outside of oneself. It's God's presence, fullness of God. That's, we got to want that, church. I want you to want it more. Next question, is your tendency to think of God working outside of human agency or within human agency? And why or why not? And how about you? Are you growing in your confidence of God's working through people, through you, through the church, through your church, through your family? All right. Good news. Got Dad coming in today. We're ready to sing. Let's hand it over now. All right. We've got a special, I'm not going to call him a special guest. He's one of our hosts. My dad is here today, and we're going to sing. Tell him what we're going to sing, Dad.
Right now, we're going to sing Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
And what's the page?
361.
And that's in our seedbed hymnal.
Our Great Redeemer's Praise.
Yep, there it is. So I need you to scoot over a little bit. Can you scoot over just a shade, Dad? Just kind of off scoot your chair. There we go. Because we got to get, you know, what I hear from people out there, they say things like, we actually need to hear more of him and less of you. It's true. It's true. Because you really are the singer among us. And
well, that's certainly a compliment.
No, oh, Dad, these people, they love you. I mean, I show you a lot of things they write, and then you forget them, and I have to show you again. But that's the great thing about forgetting things is you get to have the joy of hearing them all over again.
Well, it's if they're good things, yeah.
That's true. So, now, Dad, every Sunday in church in Gillette, most Sundays I end with the benediction that we say in today's wake-up call. I'll say, you know, we've finished the last hymn. My acolytes are standing in front of me. They're ready to go. And I'll say, I'll raise my hands and I'll say, now to him who is able to do above and beyond all we can ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work. And then I'll say, where? And what do they say? Within us.
Within us.
Remember?
Yeah.
Every Sunday, I'll say, yes, according to his power that is at work, and I'll say, where?
Within us.
And the whole church will say, within us. I'm like,
they're listening.
They're listening.
Yeah.
And then I'll say, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus now throughout all generations. And then, do you remember what song we sing as we walk out every Sunday? She'll play a note. Miss Rosella or Miss Thelma, they'll hit a note on the piano, and we'll sing, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Let's sing it again. This is our song for today, I think. I don't think we're even going to sing Sweet, Sweet Spirit. We'll save that for another day.
All right.
Let's sing it again. This is our song today.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
And that feels like the perfect song to end church with.
It is.
Because it's like we felt like we were standing in the sanctuary, right, only to realize that we are the sanctuary.
Amen.
We are the sanctuary. God's not dwelling in a temple somewhere in a building. He is
in us.
In us. And we got to get more and more at home.
That's mighty big.
But that's how it happens.
It. Yeah.
And that's why I love how we end church every Sunday. And we just kind of ended today's wake up call like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that you sing that song, Sanctuary, and it's a song about the streets. The sanctuary is about to leave the building and move into the streets. And that's the point of church.
Right.
It's not the building, it's the body.
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ. And the world desperately needs the body of Christ to get out of the building. That's why I tell our church all the time, guys, Sunday is not the big game. This is practice. The big game is Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right.
And Wednesday. Okay, well, it's time to let you guys send you. We're not letting you go. We're sending you out on the fields to sow love today, to be the love of God in you. Everywhere you go, everyone you meet. You ready? For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
And we'll see you
on the field.
On the field. All right, get your seeds.